Blow the horn. Let's go.
Everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's the same place they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you listen.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Young men can play against you and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. End zone.
This is a mauling, folks. A mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Tom, it's the 2012 preseason extravaganza, and in this show, we're breaking down the offensive line. The big uglies, what do you got?
Barrett Jones is what I have. The reason this is going to be a fun conversation is because Barrett Jones is a quality individual. Not only, I mean, he's your throwback. He's a hell of a football player. He's smart as a whip. I mean, how many guys, I mean, let's try to find out if anybody can say that they've played four positions on the freaking offensive line. And oh, by the way, I've won the Outland Trophy and I could have gone pro. And now I'm going to go and win the Best Center in the Nation award just for the hell of it. I'll just win both of them.
Well, that's a mighty fine prediction, but let me kind of react to what you've said there. How many times, and it's a rhetorical question because I think the answer is probably zero or near zero. How many times have we seen the Outland Trophy winner at left tackle, the most profitable position, the most cash-rich position across the offensive line in the NFL, the Outland Trophy winner, the nation's number one college football lineman, at that position, come back, one, come back for their senior year, number two, come back for their senior year and then play another position?
Never.
That speaks to his character, not Never. Only his talent.
No, it speaks to how unselfish he is. Because when he was right guard, which I truly think that right guard or center is his position in the pros. I mean, my take on this is when he was right guard, he made DJ Fluker better. When he moved over to left tackle, we saw a drop-off in DJ Fluker. Why? Because of Anthony Steen, which we'll have fun with in a minute. But let's face it, he's not going to be a left tackle in the pros, I don't think. He's not going to be your prototypical long wingspan type of guy. But hell, he went from right guard to left tackle and gave up one sack on the year against some very good speed rushers. But I think his position in the pros where he's going to make a lot of money is center because of his talent and his, you know, just how smart he is calling plays at the line of scrimmage. We're going to have an upgrade at the center position this year.
Well, if he can play the position, win the Remington Award, which that's never been done, win the Outland and the Remington Award. If he can win that award at center, the nation's best center, and then that makes him draftable at center versus guard, then that does. You don't see a lot of guards taken in the first round. You see some. You don't see a lot. You're more apt to see a center because that's a more critical, when you start kind of leveling the positions, that's a more critical position. And if you can't play center, you probably can play guard. So there's some downside, sort of step down risk. And so if he can prove himself at center, and I'm sure this is something the line coach and Saban talked to him about, if you can prove yourself at center, then you have a different type of career in the NFL than you do at right guard. And so, you know, there's some upside there. So I agree with you there. But
I'm excited. I guess what I'm trying to say is I would not be as excited about the offensive line with some of what you're going to talk about if he hadn't come back.
Oh, yeah.
It changes it tremendously.
I think absolutely. And yeah, when you have, you know, arguably the nation's best lineman coming back, then you're, even if you are relocating that player, you know, then you have to feel good about where you're playing. Even if we were just putting him back at right guard, which is, you know, you could argue his natural position, I'm glad to have him back. And I'm glad to have him back from a leadership perspective and a teaching and an example that he provides to the other players. So I'm not arguing that I'm glad that he's back. I think that's pretty straightforward. I think there's three ways to look at that. I'm going to ask for a minute here. I think there's three ways to look at the offensive line. I think there's the popular way, which you're going to read about everywhere. I think there's the contrarian way, which is a great way to get into a bar fight. And I think there's the right way to look at it. So I'm biased, which I think is self-evident. And so let me step through this. There's the popular way. This is the best offensive line that we've ever seen at Alabama. We have three all-everythings in Barrett and Womack and DJ. We have a five-star super stud in Cyrus coming back, who started last year at the offensive left tackle. We have, you know, another guy, the fifth guy, Steen, with 2 years in which he started. We've got 96 combined starts out of the group, and we've got juniors and redshirt sophomores lined up as backups. And on top of that, we were the top-ranked offensive rushing unit last year. So there's a very popular way of looking at it, that we're the best offensive line ever. There's a contrarian way that says this is the most hyped offensive line since the Pancake Posse.
I remember them.
Of course, right? Who could, right? 3-8. We traveled all the way to California to see them kick off the season. You could argue, though, contrarian, that our best lineman is at his third position in 3 years. You know, that Cyrus is coming off a significant knee injury. Steen is Steen.
Exactly. Say that again. Steen is Steen.
DJ was benched last year for Alfred McCullough. And then Barrett,
more than one time.
And our Barrett, you could argue our best offensive lineman at left tackle was moved to center on a team where all of our backups are inside linemen. And so of all of our six or seven depth guys, they're all projected at guard or center. And so our best lineman has to go play inside because we don't have the depth.
That's your best point right there on the contrarian thing, because that speaks volumes, right, to this depth that we supposedly have.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's where I'm cautiously – this is the right way to look at the offensive line. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not beholden to, you know, the positions. I think our approach is always to get the best lineman on the field, and so that's what we're doing. You know, Barrett has snapped some before, and he's performed well. He is,
and he can pick it up.
Sensational.
I mean, he's Barrett.
We can pick it up. You know, Cyrus is recovering from injury. He's had a sensational rehab. He is a top talent, and he'll be out there flanked by a tight end that can provide him. You know, Steen, having Fluker and Barrett beside him, will improve. That Steen will improve by having that company. And Fluker's playing for draft position. He knows that he could have probably been drafted late first, early second last year, but if he comes in and kicks ass this year, that he can be a top 15 type of pick. And so I absolutely think that's the right way to look at the offensive line, is with some cautious optimism. So that's a lot of words. That's a lot of sort of breakdown and how you can look at it, how I look at it. How do you look at the offensive line?
Well, I'm concerned about Steen. I mean, Steen jumps out at me from everybody. I mean, he's the one. I mean, Chance Womack, I mean, he's a known, you know, right? Chance Womack is just going to be a mauler. There's no concern about Chance Womack. I love the fact that last year when we had Barrett Jones at left tackle, he was even versatile enough that he was pulling and going around the right edge. Remember how we'd pull him at left tackle? We'd pull Womack. We would pull Anthony Steen. I'm curious to see what we get with Barrett in the middle. I do think that of all the weakness at the positions, Anthony Steen is the guy. And so if you can put Barrett Jones next to him, and oh, by the way, DJ Fluker is 6'7 and 472 pounds, it seems like, Anthony Steen better not screw this up. Having the Outland Trophy winner and a big-ass mauler next to him has to help Anthony Steen. Womack, not concerned about Womack.
Yeah,
and I'm not concerned about Cyrus. I mean, in this day and age, a knee injury, it wasn't a major knee injury. I'm okay with that. And so it comes down to Steen. I mean, I'm biased. I mean, I'm not a fan of his. And so I think that Vallejos did not pick him up. And I think Barrett Jones will pick him up.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's going to get some support there. He was a full-time, you know, you could say full-time starter last year. I think he was banged up, and I think he did miss a couple starts. But he was our number one guy at the position last year. The year before that, he certainly played someone when Barrett was moved.
But he only made 9 starts last year. To your point about Alfred McCullough, right? What concerns me about Steen, on a national championship team, he only got 9 starts. He's only got 11 starts his whole career. So unlike these other guys that are 25 starts and 36 starts and 40 starts, when you add up your 96, he's only 11 of them.
Yeah, they, you know, clearly you know, Barrett's leading the charge, and when we tab up 96, I completely agree with that. He is contributing to that. I like to hope that we're going to see some incremental progress from him, and we'll see from there. I think the key question, if we're going to talk about the offensive line, the key question, and we've mentioned McCullough a couple times, and
he's the kind of guys you're going to miss.
That's exactly right. He's the kind of guy that we're going to miss because he could come in and fill a couple positions, and then when you have a Barrett that can be versatile, all of a sudden you have a lot of different combinations of play that you can put in based on who needs to sit out because they need some coaching, or who needs to sit out because they're injured.
And look at the roster real quick. Where is the Alfred McCullough Sr.?
Well,
he's not there.
That becomes the question. The key question on this year's offensive line is who's number six? Who's the first lineman off the bench? We could talk about the five positions and who's number two at each position. I don't think that's the right answer to the question. I think the right answer to the question is who's the first lineman off the bench, because you can always take Barrett with his versatility and move him to move him to any position on the line. And so who would really come in and either play another position or come in and play that center position if we had to move Barrett for someone else? Who's number six?
Ryan Kelly.
Are you reading my notes?
No. I started to say Austin Shepherd, because Austin Shepherd, just because DJ Fluker has even had to, you know, he's even gotten pulled out of some games. But I think your point about Barrett and the ability of being able to move him, right, it really has to come down to, do they think Ryan Kelly can step up? And obviously there would be a drop-off, but do they think he can come in and be that sixth guy? And I think he would be the first guy up.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I actually do have that in my notes. I think Ryan Kelly is the number six. He can come in and play that center position, and so if Barrett were to go down, obviously we'd need a center. If another position, another player is, you know, think about a tackle. If a tackle were to go down, then I don't think we bring someone in to play tackle. I think we move Barrett out, and we bring someone in to play center. And so we talk about most of the depth on the offensive line is in the middle. And so I think we're moving someone to the center to move Barrett out. The only sort of condition I would put onto that is if we get a holding call or a couple of false starts from someone like a DJ, and he just needs to have his helmet grabbed and some chew out, and we're going to sit you out for a couple of plays.
Then we'll see Austin Shepherd.
Then I think we would see Austin come in and play that position. I don't think we would disrupt the whole line to make a point to DJ. But I'm saying if we had a true number six that we needed to come in for a sustained period of time, I think it is Ryan Kelly.
Hey, one other thing, or two other things I want to quickly mention is we did talk about Barrett Jones, and we got pretty creative late in the season by pulling him to the right. And to pull your – when you talk about Outland Trophy winners coming back for their senior year, how many times have you seen a left tackle pull around the right side on a sweep because you're so confident in his ability to move from left tackle to sweep around the right tight end? So, you know, William Vallejos was pretty good at pulling as well. And so bringing Barrett back in the middle, if you're confident enough to pull him from the left tackle to the right edge and you bring him back in the center, look at the versatility that gives you now, because now you can really pull him right and left. And so that really helps you as far as your traps and opening up your play calls. And so I was just curious your thoughts about that.
No, I think you're right on. I think when he's in the middle like that, it does give you a great deal of flexibility and versatility, and we can run the same play. You know, you hear me say a lot, you know, run it again, line it up, run it again. And you hear a lot of high school coaches, you know, say that when they see something they don't like. I say that in a game. When we see something that's working, you know, we get a 3 or 4 yard game, line it up and run it again. And it's just pound the ball down the opponent's throat. And when we have something like a Barrett, we could literally line it up and run it again. But now
right
we're going to
run it
to
side.
The other
side. Yeah.
And we're going to run the exact same play, and we're going to pull it to the right, we're going to pull it to the left, and we are going to run that same play again, but we're just going to mix it up on the sides. And so I think it's a great deal of versatility. I'm going to throw a point that you made out. I'm going to set you up for your point and let you commentate on this. When's the last time you've seen a center that was 6'5"?
I don't remember seeing 1 6'5". But what's interesting is Ryan Kelly, when you look at the numbers, because he's obviously the guy that they hope will play that position at some point. Oh, by the way, he's 6'5". But for Barrett Jones to come in at 6'5" when William Vallejos was 6'1", you know, obviously A.J. McCarron at 6'4" could see over William Vallejos with no problem at 6'1". And so adding that 4 inches, I'm sure they have to work on that a little extra after practice these last couple weeks.
Well, you just have to make sure you know where your passing lanes are, and I think you have to be a little more cognizant of that. You know, when you have an alignment in a crouched position, you're not getting the full 6'5", but you weren't getting the full 6'1" on Vallejos either. You got a man in a crouched position, and a 6'1" man in a crouched position is going to still be shorter. Even crouch is going to still be shorter than a 6'5" guy. In a crouched position. Across the line, we're tall. It was almost duck-duck-goose when you look across our offensive line, and it was a little squatty Vallejos at 6'1".
Yes.
And so we've got a tall offensive line, you know, as it is. And so I don't know that it's material, but it's something, it's one of those things to watch. It's one of those things to think about, because it is very rare to see a center that's that tall, and that's just right in the center, literally, of the quarterback's line of sight.
Well, to your point real quick about that, you know, DJ's 6'7", and Cyrus is 6'6", and now you throw Barrett at 6'5" in the middle. Well, Steen and Warmack are no small guys at 6'3". He is going to have to move his passing lanes. He's going to have to play behind the guard. He's going to have to, you know, set up behind the guards.
Yeah.
And even then, it's 6'3".
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, he's going to have a wall in front of him, but then he's going to have a wall in front of him. And so he's going to have to know where his passing lanes are. And that also speaks to those receivers having to run some disciplined routes. And so we'll see how we coach him up and how we make that happen. Let's go back to our confidence interval. What are you giving this offensive line?
You know, I loved your setup as far as the popular way and the contrarian way to look at this. And I guess I have to be a mixture between the contrarian and the right way. I guess just Barrett taints it. I mean, Barrett taints it on one side to the good, and Steen taints it shitty on the other side. But I still have to probably give these guys a 9.
A 9?
I'm just very optimistic that we are just going to really be some maulers. That we're going to give AJ the protection he needs. He's going to get the ball out of his hands quick, and we're just going to run the ball down some people's throats.
Well, a 9's a pretty high grade.
It'd be a 10 if it wasn't for Steen.
If we had someone other than Steen, or we knew that he was capable of playing better, and we had a McCullough coming back, then I might match your 9. I'm going 7.5.
Wow.
And I'm just going to acknowledge that I know that I'm giving the offensive line a hard grade. There are people lined up. I got into a little pissing contest with some folks on Tighter Insider. Great website. But they just thought I was nuts when I was saying that last year's offensive line was overrated and that we're setting ourselves up for this year's offensive line to be all overrated as well. And so that's why if you take the contrarian view to the max, you know, that's probably an extreme, but there's somewhere, you know, you're not as good as your good day, you're not as bad as your bad day. There's something in the middle, and that's where I get this sort of cautiously optimistic. I'm giving it a 7.5, but I acknowledge that's a hard grade.
Let me quickly clarify my 9. I think nothing against William Vallejos. Barrett Jones is an upgrade at the center position, and from what we saw with flashes of Cyrus, I think Cyrus is going to be like Barrett Jones. You're going to forget about him out there because he's not going to make you have any concerns. And so Steen has got to get better. He can't do anything but get better. And so Barrett Jones is really why I'm bumping this up to a 9, because we do have some good running backs. We don't have Trent Richardson, but Barrett coming back, I guess, just really taints my score.
All right. Very good. Very good. Well, we'll have to track and see how that happens. And I know that followers of the podcast know that we try to break down the offensive line and talk about what we see and our strengths and weaknesses as the season progresses. So that's something we'll definitely keep a hard eye on. This has been another episode of the Alabama Football Podcast 2012 Football Extravaganza. Bowl Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout-out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, T-shirts, free roster downloads, and, of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.